It's 12:06 and 73 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Friday, May 24th. Coming up this hour, we'll listen in as members of the Santa Fe School Board debate whether pay raises for teachers next year should be 1% or more. The most unusual health care program in Albuquerque operates in large part with grant money from the Mexican government, and its recipients don't necessarily have to be Mexican nationals. Special young people from New Mexico will be getting special recognition for their outstanding community work. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
Santa Fe School Board has approved an $89 million budget for the coming year, but only after a heated debate over pay raises for teachers and other workers. Board member Glenn Weichel brought up a last-minute proposal to offer a 3% raise to teachers, while the budget discussions had included raises equaling just 1%. Superintendent Joel Boyd argued against the plan.
What was the concrete suggestion for finding that amount of money, which would be $1.5 million additionally?
We would have to cut deeper into central office. We would have to cut deeper into support staff at schools.
So here, what you're doing by a symbolic vote is putting the burden on your four colleague board members to pass a vote that you know is realistic and which represents your input over the last 3 months.
My input was that 1% is pitiful. That was my input.
In the end, Weichel cast the only no vote against the budget that contains the 1% raise. Santa Fe City Councilor Bill Demas has officially announced he will run for mayor next year. He joins the previously announced Patty Boucher in the race for Santa Fe's top post. The former judge and police officer was elected to represent the city's District 4 last year. Demas says he'll be using public financing for his campaign rather than pursuing private fundraising. Meanwhile, the majority leader of the state Senate says he might make a run for governor. Democrat Michael Sanchez told the Las Cruces Sun News that he's been approached and is taking a serious look at it. Republican Governor Susana Martinez worked to have Sanchez defeated in last year's legislative elections, but Sanchez created a series of television ads that turned opinion in his favor. A verdict of guilty has been rendered against the Santa Fe man accused of double homicide over a $100 rent dispute. 55-year-old Artha Anaya now faces possible sentencing of life in prison for the January 2012 murders. Anaya went to a property he was renting out to 51-year-old Teresa Vigil, who lived there with her 17-year-old daughter Natalie and her young boyfriend, Austin Urban. An argument ensued, and Anaya shot the boy and the mother at close range. Testimony began Tuesday and went to jury yesterday. Anaya will be sentenced next week. The victim of that fatal hit-and-run along St. Francis Drive in Santa Fe early Thursday morning has been identified as 29-year-old Juan Lopez of Chimayo. Santa Fe police say a female driver responsible for the crash is now cooperating in the investigation. She contacted state police in Española after hearing media reports and said she was on her way to work in pre-dawn hours when she thought she hit a large dog in the road. Officers are working with the district attorney's office to see if charges will be filed. The colorful tourist train that runs between Santa Fe and Lamy won't be operating this year. The chairman of the Santa Fe Southern Railway says he's laid off virtually the entire staff as a result of declining revenues. He tells the New Mexican the passenger business has been affected by the recession. The 16-mile rail spur has been in existence since the 1880s, just after the Lamy Train Depot opened. Meanwhile, the historic Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad opens their tourist ride season tomorrow. Since 1970, the high-altitude narrow-gauge rail line has been traversing 64 miles of the state line between Chama, New Mexico, and Antonito, Colorado. The line is jointly owned and operated by both states. This season, two new rides have been added, a Saturday evening sunset excursion, as well as a shorter Sunday Express at midday. Though the current school year has just ended, Santa Fe Public Schools conducts three events next week to welcome incoming freshmen to Santa Fe High School. From Tuesday through Thursday, students from various middle schools will be given tours of the campus and introduced to administrative staff. Information about academics, athletics, and clubs will be distributed, along with an opportunity to complete early registration. Details can be found at the public school's website. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office cautions motorists that they'll be conducting stepped-up anti-DWI activity over the Memorial Day weekend. Deputies will be conducting a checkpoint in central Santa Fe County, looking for impaired drivers and strictly enforcing the ticketing of all traffic infractions. A reminder that Monday's observance of Memorial Day means all federal, state, and local government offices will be closed. As for transportation, Santa Fe Trail's buses will not be in service. Also not operating on Monday is the New Mexico Rail Runner. Heading into summer heat, New Mexico's largest electric utility, PNM, is advising customers on ways to keep cooling bills lower. They recommend checking monthly bills to understand how electricity use changes from month to month. PNM also says that servicing of filters on air conditioners and pads for swamp coolers be performed now before days reach their warmest. The utility reminds people they can spread their overall annual cost across the calendar year with the PNM budget billing program. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny today and Saturday with highs in the upper 70s. There's a 30% chance for thundershowers developing this afternoon. Tomorrow brings a 20% chance. Overnight lows in the low 50s. Sunday and Monday's Memorial Day forecast is sunny and dry with highs near 80 degrees. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
Following up on your weather, Dan, a combination of unusual atmospheric conditions is said to be the cause of sometimes heavy haziness in skies from Albuquerque to Santa Fe today. You may have seen them. Both the Forest Service and the National Weather Service reported an unusual volume of calls to their offices from people wanting to know what's causing it. The City of Albuquerque Air Quality Department released a health alert just before 9 this morning for poor air quality. Well, the Weather Service says there are three reasons for the haze. One is a prescribed burn south of Tucson that's put particulate matter in the air. Number two, that's combined with dust raised by strong overnight winds. Third factor, a backdoor front has raised atmospheric moisture levels much above normal. Altogether, the ingredients have made for a haze said to be widespread along the Rio Grande Valley. Conditions expected to improve throughout the afternoon hours. It's 12:13 on at noon from KSFR News. Checking stocks on Wall Street, they're down slightly. The Dow Jones off $6.50 at 15,287. 12:14 now. The atmosphere heated up at this week's meeting of the Santa Fe School Board when they came to the budget item marked raises for teachers and other school workers. The budget under discussion had raises earmarked at 1% for the coming year. The other board members were surprised when member Glenn Weichel proposed a last-minute adjustment to the budget, making the raise not 1%, but 3%. Also taken by surprise was school superintendent Joel Boyd.
Please share with the public your suggestions for finding that 3% that you presented over the last 3 months when this staff has been working extremely hard and has shown unwavering commitment to our teachers. What was the concrete suggestion for finding that amount of money, which would be $1.5 million additionally?
We would have to cut deeper into central office. We would have to cut deeper into support staff at schools.
So I think what's unfortunate, Board Member Weichel, is I think you've taken the opportunity at the 11th hour to take the easy way out of what has been a very hard decision for your other colleagues on this board. So here, what you're doing by a symbolic vote is putting the burden on your four colleague board members to pass a vote that you know is realistic and which represents your input over the last 3 months.
My input was that 1% is pitiful. That was my input. Thanks. It's more than symbolic. We've made decisions at the 11th hour, the last two rounds of budget making. It's not too late to make a change. We could definitely make a commitment to any new revenue that comes in throughout the rest of the year gets put into a bucket that will be applied towards raises. And if we made that decision in December, the price of those raises for the current year ends up being half because it's a half-year amount of payment. And I have to say that in March, it was looking like we were going to have 3%. It wasn't until the more recent budget meetings where that started to vaporize. And I'm still trying to understand why a 6% increase in a $90 million budget just disappeared.
I think that one of the things that's
Board Member Correa.
Clear, so that we don't end up like Oakland, or now Stockton as well, is that anything that we do has to be sustainable. So that if if we found more money and put it in the bucket, we'd have to make sure that we found that same amount of money the following year and the following year after. As far as the AAA bond rating, it was you, Board Member Weichel, and all of us, actually. I think all of us were able to attend that at Amy Beale. What an amazing school. What a beautiful school. And their solar program. And you spoke at that. That's bond money, man. That is bond money. And we're paying less interest on that because we have the rating that we have. Bond money. Low interest rate because we keep enough in cash. So I would say let's give this 3% or 4% raise across the board to everybody in this district, also regardless as to whether or not they're performing satisfactorily. And let's take it from cash. And then let's do it again next year and take it from cash. And then we'll be left with $1 million in cash for a district that has a $90 million a year budget.
Board Member Stephen Carrillo. In the end, the vote was 4-1 in favor of a budget of $89 million with pay raises of 1%. 12:17 on At Noon. A most unusual health program is in its third year at UNM. At the UNM Cancer Center, it's a program that gets most of its money from the Mexican consulate in Albuquerque. It's the program to help needy Mexican nationals who find themselves in New Mexico. What makes it even more unusual, the program is not only applicable to needy Mexican nationals living here, it can also help needy Americans. Maria Otero is director of the community outreach for Hispanic and Latino programs at UNM. She told me about the novel program called Ventanilla de Salud. Translated, that means window of health.
Yes, Ventanilla de Salud is a program of the Mexican government or the Mexican Ministry of Foreign Affairs and to the Institutes of Mexicans Abroad, and that's through the Consulate of Mexico here in Albuquerque. So it's an international, binational collaboration, and it's designed to be implemented in the United States with a community-based organization, and in this case, it's the UNM Cancer Center. And it is to provide health information and referrals to the Mexican Hispanic communities in New Mexico. There's 50 Ventanillas de Salud in the whole United States, and here in New Mexico, we're very lucky to be able to have a consulate because not every state has a Mexican consulate.
Well, just to clarify, does the program pay for actual medical care or information?
Well, it's a little bit of both, and it is not direct services. We're not a clinic, but we are the clinical linkage. You know, the community clinical linkages are so important, and we are the linkage to the healthcare provider. So we have actually a lot of providers that are partners for Ventanilla de Salud and for the UNM Cancer Center that we refer people to our partners. And they either have a no cost for services or they do have a sliding fee scale that people are, you know, that they can pay just minimal. This is for everybody. We're very inclusive. This is not only for Hispanic Latino communities in New Mexico, but it's for all communities in New Mexico.
So it actually does include more than just Mexican nationals.
Yes, actually, we are. It's an inclusive program, so we don't turn anybody back. We serve our community in New Mexico, and that's one of the beauties that you know we have. And in New Mexico, that we just don't concentrate in one population, but we do not turn anybody back, and we try our best to reach a lot of our communities.
And you've just gotten a new grant from Mexico?
This is the third, actually, consecutive year that we received this grant, and it's for us to continue this collaboration, and that it help us have a community health worker, somebody from the community working within the community. And our community health worker is there at the Mexican Consulate on a daily basis, talking to people, referring people to, you know, to a treatment center or for screening and information, and, you know.
What was the amount of the grant? $36,000? And is that the whole budget of yours?
You know what? That is just a portion of it. The UNM Cancer Center also provides some funding in order for us to do this program. I'm not sure about how much, but I know that the UNM Cancer Center has supported this program from the beginning. And with only that amount, we could not be doing what we do. We go statewide. We have another office in Santa Fe at one of our partners, which is El Paisano Market, which we have an office at El Paisano, and those are the Mexican grocery stores. And we go twice a month, and we are there to see people as well. We provide cancer education, other chronic disease prevention topics that we do. And then we do provide screening, like diabetes screening, high blood pressure, and we refer people to different organizations if that's needed.
You're at UNM. How do people find out about your program?
You know what? Actually, our program is based at the Mexican Consulate. So our main office for Ventanilla de Salud, it is at the Mexican Consulate in Albuquerque. So our program, it's there. So this is why we're so fortunate to be able to collaborate with the Mexican Consulate, because they also provide us with a space for us to be there, so people can just come where, you know, we're going where the people are. We don't want people to come to us. Sometimes it's more difficult for people to come to our clinic. So we're trying to be where the community is.
I can imagine, because of the economy, demand is way up.
Well, you know what? I think for us, our partners are so powerful. I always talk about the power of partnerships, because, of course, the economy and, you know, grant funding has decreased enormously. I think it has definitely, you know, the Cancer Center has felt that, and in other community organizations have felt that. But for us, I think it's just that's why it's so important to have those community clinical linkages that are part of your program, because we all work together and it's like a win-win situation. We want healthy New Mexicans at the end of the day. So we're trying to work, all of us work together.
Maria Otero at Ventanilla de Salud in Albuquerque, Windows of Health. It's 24 after 12 o'clock on At Noon from KSFR News. Some very special youth from New Mexico are going to be recognized for outstanding community work. KSFR's Charles Maynard has the story.
New Mexico Voices for Children, a youth advocacy program, is going to be recognizing some New Mexican youth for outstanding volunteer achievement. Known as the Amy Beale Youth Spirit Award, this marks the 19th year that young volunteers have been so honored. Sharon Kane is with New Mexico Voices for Children and tells us who Amy Beale was.
She was a young woman who she graduated from Santa Fe High School, and she came from an upper-middle-class family and realized that she was really fortunate that much of the rest of the world didn't have the things that she had, and so she wanted to give back society, and she ended up going to South Africa as a Fulbright scholar, working with that nation's leaders to help end apartheid. She worked on the election that ended apartheid. And sadly, she was killed during a race riot. She was pulled from a car, and although it has a sort of uplifting end, her parents went through the Truth and Reconciliation process and forgave the young men, and at least one of them now works at the foundation there in Cape Hope. Every year we honor New Mexico youth ages 13 through 26 who are doing good works, giving back to their community. A lot of them do volunteer work through organizations like their churches. Some of them create programs of their own. Some of them do advocacy work. It's really just a way of encouraging them to in what they're doing and honoring them for giving back. We usually get 25 or so nominations, and then we select two top honorees from the two different age categories. We break them down by 13 to 18-year-olds and 19 to 26-year-olds. And those four are, there's a first place and a second place honoree in each age group, and they actually get scholarships.
Selecting the first and second place finishers is a difficult task.
You know, I've never been on the nominating committee or the selection committee, but I usually read the nomination forms and the biographies and whatnot, and some of them do some really amazing work, and all of them deserve to be recognized. They're all giving back to their communities at a young age.
The money for the scholarships comes from various sources.
It's donations. Usually the staff chips in a bunch of it, and oftentimes the board members also do. And if that's not enough, then it can come out of our private donation.
All nominees are honored at the New Mexico Kids Count Conference in June.
That is also the day the Annie E. Casey Foundation will release the National Kids Count Data Book. That's the book where they rank the 50 states, and New Mexico is usually in the upper 40s. But we'll also have some speakers. One from the Casey Foundation will talk about helping kids be proficient at reading by third grade. The name of the conference is New Mexico Kids Count Conference, Third Grade Count. A lot of it will be about addressing these issues long before kids make it to third grade. It is open to anybody. It'll be June 24th at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel here in Albuquerque. The registration fee is $75, and that includes breakfast and lunch. But it's absolutely open to everybody.
To nominate somebody for the Amy Beal Youth Spirit Award, go to the group's website.
They go to our website, which is NM, as in New Mexico, nmvoices.org, and click on the link on the left-hand side for Amy Beal Youth Spirit Awards, and that'll take them to the page where they can download the nomination packet.
Sharon Kane with New Mexico Voices for Children. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Checking news from elsewhere, authorities in Washington State say a bridge collapse that sent cars and drivers tumbling off a four-lane interstate and into the frigid Skagit River may have been caused when a semi-trailer truck crashed into the structure. The semi got across the bridge okay, but not two following cars. Several people were injured, but no fatality. 75 degrees in Santa Fe, on our way to the upper 70s for highs today. Well, we've got 60 seconds. The old curmudgeon's here to fill it up.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like sweets. That's wrong. I love sweets. That's wrong, too. I love certain sweets, especially sweets that are related to chocolate or ice cream, neither of which I keep in the house for good reason. And I've told you that before. All that said, there's a sweet I don't understand, Pop-Tarts. Regardless of the official term for each company's product, you know what I mean by Pop-Tart. I understand why parents like Pop-Tarts for their kids. The Pop-Tarts are quick, easy, and kids seem to love them. A little excessive sugar, but what's the fun of having a kid around if you can't have a kid around who's having a sugar rush? My problem is I work with adults who like Pop-Tarts and don't take the time to clean the toaster of the jelly that leaks out and hardens on the toaster's innards. As far as I'm concerned, Pop-Tarts are flop parts. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.